Well, I want to welcome everyone this morning to Calvary Baptist Church right here in Powder Springs, Georgia. I want to welcome our Facebook viewers as well. So glad to have you viewing, and the Calvary members that's been viewing since this pandemic has started. God bless you for your faithfulness and attending the services through Facebook. And also want to wish everyone a happy Valentine's Day and a time to wear red and put red on the walls and decorate in red. But nonetheless, it has been a good morning so far, and just as every Sunday morning is good, but we appreciate the holiday falling in on the Lord's Day so that we can lift Him up and share how much that we love Him and to a lost and dying world. This morning I want to mention a couple prayer requests, and then we will hand it back to Brother Allen. Let me say this before I go any further, as I've been forgetting on some of the services, that at the end of the service, there will be opportunity to give in tithes and offerings at the entrances here in the sanctuary. So remember that. Also, let's remember Miss BJ in our prayers. She is going, I believe it's Wednesday, she is going for an outpatient eye surgery. So that's Miss B.J. Williams. Let's remember her. Brother James Townsend, as some of you know, we've updated the Facebook page. But he went on Thursday for a heart cath. And from my understanding, they were only able to get half of it done. There was some blockages in there that they didn't want to mess with at the time. So he's going back tomorrow either for a second heart cath or just to finish the job completely on that first heart cath. So please remember Brother James in your prayers. Miss Shirley, she had a PET scan done on Friday, this past Friday, and we don't have any results as of yet. And this is concerning her cancer spot that she has on her lung. So we're praying that the Lord has removed that, or at the very least has kept it from growing. So remember Miss Shirley in your prayers. Miss Mary Kelly, she had oral surgery on Wednesday of this week, and she's home doing good. Miss Dawn Capistrano, member of Calvary, she contacted us about a week ago, and she may possibly be having neck surgery. And so we told her that we would definitely remember her in prayer, mention her to the church. Let's pray for Randy Maddox's sister. She has a health concern. Man by the name of Claude. This is Brother David Henderson's good friend. He's like a father figure to him, and he's not doing well. This is Claude, David Henderson's close friend, father figure. Let's pray for him. And then Brother Harold this morning needs our prayers. He is going for no date set yet, but a procedure surgery here in the next little while concerning his colon. And removing some things in there. But Brother Harold, you're here this morning, and you're a testimony of God's grace getting you to the house of the Lord. We appreciate that, brother, showing this younger generation, including myself, about faithfulness to the Lord. So let's remember him. Let's just remember everyone this morning. Let's remember all those that are watching. And I'll say this, I don't want to get too personal, because they may be watching this morning. But I will say this, I shared it with the choir this morning, that I want you to be encouraged, is what I told them. I want you as well to be encouraged that our Facebook Live videos, our Facebook Live services are reaching lives. We received a letter this week by one person expressing what it means to them. They can't leave the house. They have different medical situations going on. But they said that it has changed their life. And they also sent a donation, so that helps. But God's working even during this time. And so let's just be encouraged and give it our all each and every time we have service. All right, well, let's pray this morning, and then we will hand it back to Brother Allen. Father God, we come in Jesus' name. Lord, we're thankful for the ministry here at Calvary. We're thankful that we're able, Lord, to stand once again and preach your word. But Father, I'm thankful for your people who demonstrate pure faith, genuine faith, Lord, they're still coming to your house. They still want to be here. Let us who have position, Lord, do well with our time and prepare thoroughly for this one in-person worship service, that it may mean everything to those that are coming and to those that are watching. Lord, we lift all these prayer requests up to you this morning. You are the great I Am. You're the one who heals. You're the one who providentially orchestrates things, Lord, for your own good and for your glory, for our own good and your glory. Thank you for being God. This morning we pray for the service. We pray, Lord, that you would have preeminence, first place. Be with the singing, be with the preaching. And if there's one here that doesn't know you, there's one watching that doesn't know you, we pray today will be the day of salvation for them. We love you, we thank you, and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Good to see the Vandivers this morning.
All right, choir, would you stand with me? Church, would you stand? And let's sing that chorus, "There's Something About That Name." Thank you, church. You can be seated. This morning we were praying and trying to find songs that might kind of fit into Valentine's Day. Of course, it's a day that we all share love with loved ones, and gifts are exchanged and candies given out, and all that's good and fine. But this morning the Lord began to touch my heart and remind me that the greatest expression of love was given some thousand years ago cathedral called Calvary. When God extended his love toward us, and that yet while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The sinless dying for the sinner. And I begin to think about this song that the choir is going to sing in a few moments. And I'm so glad to know about his love. He loved me, yet he knew me. And I'm thankful for that. But I'll never forget the night that the Lord began to deal with my heart about my sin condition. And he expressed to me that night this great love. And I stepped out of an aisle, walked down into an old-fashioned altar and knelt and began to deal with my sinful condition, which was translated to my salvation. And I'm so thankful this morning that as a 15-year-old young man, I'm still as saved today as I was then. And I'm so thankful for that this morning. And I want to ask you, do you remember the time when you accepted the Lord as your Savior? Now, you may have been at church, you may have been at home, you may have been in a gym somewhere, but wherever you were, do you remember the time when you accepted Christ as your Savior? I want you to examine your heart and your life today, and don't leave this place. You may be here this morning, and you've never accepted Christ as your Savior. You may be listening by Facebook Live, and again, we're thankful for that. But what a day it would be for you to accept the Lord, be born into the family of God, and accept him today as your Savior. Would you pray for the choir this morning as we sing, When I Got Up?
Moment, what a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open, I can see the light of day. What a great day.
this could be your day. You don't have to wait to the end of the service. You don't have to wait to the invitation. If the Lord's dealing with your heart, like he dealt with my heart, like he dealt with Amanda's, and you feel like my heart's about to beat out of my chest this morning, there may be a reason that you are here this very morning. Listen. What a wonderful moment. What a glorious time. The day I met Jesus, I'm his and he's mine. Blinded eyes are now open. I can see the light of day. What a great jubilation the night I got saved. When I come on down and pray this morning, I knew I'd been changed. I knew my whole life had been rearranged. And the one you knew then is not the one you see now.
What a blessing when the manifested presence of the Lord shows up. We praise his name this morning for who he is and for what he does. And did you enjoy the singing this morning? Say amen. 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 This morning we're going to be in the book of Jude. Jude, verse 21. Jude, verse 21. And this is going to be our starting point this morning. Our text verse, what we call it. Jude, verse number 21. Do want to bow for a quick word of prayer, and then we're going to bring about the message. Father, we come and in Jesus' name, we are so very thankful for the salvation you impart. Lord, to the Jew first, but also to the Greek, Jew and Gentile. Lord, this morning I pray for the next few moments that you would help us to rightly divide your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would communicate your word to the hearts of your people. And if there's someone here, someone watching that doesn't know you personally, let today be that great day of salvation for them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Book of Jude, chapter verse number 21. Bible says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. I want to call your attention to that phrase this morning, the love of God. And I feel it'd be fitting for a day such as this, being Valentine's Day and it being Sunday at the same time, to share with you a message entitled, The Love of God. And so that's what we're going to try to do this morning, is just share some things with you about the love of God. A father wanted to illustrate the love of God to his son, and so he waited for the right opportunity. The son one day was playing ball in the house after being told not to time and time again. Suddenly, the sound of shattered glass got the father's attention. So he called for his son and started to take his belt off in his presence at the same time. He proceeded to take his shirt off, then knelt by the bed. The son was confused and asked, Dad, what's going on? So the father said, take my belt and give me 10 lashes to my back. The son cried uncontrollably as he struggled to obey. He was crying, and then he was gasping for air. He was so upset, crying, gasping for air, starting and stopping as he lashed his father's back. And at the very end, the father said, I wanted to show you in part how much Jesus loves you and what he did for you. That's just a short little story. But this morning, the love of God is seen in his great sacrifice. Heard another story. In fact, it was an interview of one of the daughters of Billy Graham. And the story says, back when I was married, unfortunately, the marriage had ended. And so finally, she had no choice but for divorce. Marriage ended. She had a divorce. Well, one day she was on her way home to face her parents, to tell her dad, to tell her mom. She had been silent for a long time over this subject of her divorce. But as she got close to the house and pulled in the driveway, it was a long and winding driveway. She saw her dad, Billy, outside waiting on her. And she said, great, this is it. I'm really going to get it now. And as she said that, she stepped out of the car, walked up to her dad expecting the worst, only to feel his loving arms wrap around her and tell her that he loves her and never, ever fear coming home again. That we see is God's love through forgiveness and the man Billy Graham. This morning, the love of God stretches far beyond what man's mind can really comprehend in the love we have to offer. His love is a very pure love, and it's a love that's without end and without fail. And so again, this morning, I want to share some things with you about the love of God, and four simple things that pertain to God and his love, and we hope that the message will be a help and a blessing to you. Number one, let me say, the love of God is essential. It's essential. Look in our verse in verse 21 of Jude. The writer says, keep yourselves in the love of God. Notice the word keep here. And that word keep, it means to keep the eye upon. And so he says, keep your eyes upon the love of God. keep yourselves in the love of God. This morning, we are not to lose focus of the love of God. And what I mean by that is to never forget how much God loves you and don't stop loving Him. Never to forget that. 2 Peter chapter number 1, I'll just give it to you. Notice what Peter says in 2 Peter chapter number 1 verse 9. He says, "But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins." This morning, it is possible to lose our focus from being on the Lord and His love and what He's done for us, to shift our focus on things that don't matter, to shift our focus on the things of this world and fall into the trap of the devil. But this morning, He tells us that the love of God is essential here. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Keep your eye upon God and His love. Don't stop loving Him. And don't forget that He always will love you. Let me say, by doing this, by not forgetting how much God loves you, and by you not stopping to love Him, by doing this, you are keeping yourself in the love of God. You are actually creating or operating out of the love of God. When you and I, when we keep our minds and our hearts fixed and set on the Lord, and we realize, we understand, and we know how much He loves us, and our heart is pouring out with love for Him, we are operating at that moment out of the love of God. And I want to say as well this morning, the only way to truly love yourself and others is by keeping yourself in the love of God. You know, you can't fully love yourself until you understand how much God loves you. I'll be careful this morning about how you felt about yourself. I'd be careful this morning about how you felt about others, whoever you may be, that possibly would criticize others or even criticize or think bad of your own self because you're falling short of some kind of mark you placed for yourself. I'd be very careful not to criticize myself and be very careful not to criticize others, because when I criticize myself, when I'm hard on myself and I'm hard on others, I'm being hard on those whom God loves. We got to be careful not to be too hard on ourselves. We got to be careful not to be too hard on others, because it was for us and others by which Jesus died. So therefore, I say that the love of God is essential this morning. It is essential to love ourselves. It is essential to love others. And so He says in verse 21, keep yourselves. He says, fix your eyes on the love of God. Don't move your, no matter what happens in your life, whether good or bad or indifferent, don't shift your focus. Don't ever doubt that God truly loves you. This morning, sometimes things happen and sometimes there are struggles and sometimes there are setbacks. Sometimes people lose their jobs and even lose their lives. And we wonder, because, Lord, of all of the sorrow we feel, do You even love us? Sometimes if we're not careful, we can struggle with the love of God. I remember in one of the Gospels how that the Lord was on His way to touch at the hill Jairus' daughter. And you remember there was a crowd from where Jesus started to Jairus' house. And there was a crowd in the middle. And as Jesus passed by, there was a woman in that crowd. For 12 years, she had an issue of blood. And she sought out many doctors, and she tried all of these things to cure her illness. But we know that when Jesus passed by, she reached out and touched her. But wait a minute. What's going on at Jairus' house? Because you see, his daughter wasn't dead until that delay with the woman with the issue of blood. She had died by the time Jesus got to his place. And so many times in life, people struggle. There's even times where I wrestle with the fact, well, Lord, if you are so good and Lord, you care so much and you're always working everything together after our good, then why is there delays in our life? Why is there sicknesses in our life? Why do people die that shouldn't have died? But you know, at the end of the day, we have to readjust our focus and keep our eyes on the love of the Lord. You see, in that same story, the Lord arrived at Jairus' house. In fact, he spoke to the daughter and said, arise. And she came up and she was alive. You see, the Lord always knows what he's doing. Sometimes it seems like that God has forgotten about you. Sometimes it feels like as humans that, well, the Lord, he's distracted with somebody over there. He doesn't know about me here because of this one over there. Listen, all those things happen when we shift our eyes and our focus from the love of God. And so he tells us that the love of God is essential to our Christian living. Keep yourselves in the love of God. Again, that word keep, it means to keep your eye upon, not to lose focus. This morning, that's why we go to church. That's why those listen online, watch online. That's why we pray, and that's why we study our Bibles. That's why we turn the cheek when we have to, when people are rude to us. And that's why we display kindness and go the extra mile. It's because we are trying to keep ourselves in the love of God. Sometimes it's hard keeping yourself in that place, that sweet spot, I like to call it. It's hard with the challenges of life. But yet, the writer here is mentioning several things in end times and all kinds of things when it comes to the lost and dying world and all of these elements and things against the people of God. He says in verse 21, keep yourselves in the love of God. And so this morning, we see that the love of God is essential. But there's a second thing I want you to see. The love of God is sacrificial. The love of God is sacrificial. Listen to this. The pinnacle of love is seen in sacrifice. The greatest expression of love this morning is seen in sacrifice. There was no greater sacrifice ever made among men than the sacrifice of Jesus upon the cross. Let me say this. Jesus wasn't partial in his sacrifice. He wasn't partial. The Lord this morning, he died upon the cross. His sacrificial love put him there, but he died for the CEOs of this world. But he also died for the homeless that's under bridges in this world. He died for the rich. He died for the poor. He died for the accepted. He died for the rejected. Thank God that the Lord was not partial in his sacrifice on the cross. Because if he was, I tell you right now, I wouldn't have been included. Because of the life that I lived and the kind of person that I was. But no, he's not partial. Turn, if you would, to the book of Romans, chapter number 5. This tells us a little more who he died for. Romans, chapter number 5. Brother Allen quoted it this morning. I want you to notice in Romans chapter number 5, in verse number 6. Who did he die for? He died for the rich, the poor, all of those. But this really tells us who he died for. Romans 5, 6 says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. He died for the ungodly. Unless there's somebody here, unless there's somebody watching that says, I'm not that ungodly, I don't have to have someone die for me. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And then in Isaiah 64:6, in essence, Isaiah says, our righteousness, those that are watching that may feel like they're righteous, don't need to be saved. Those that might be here feel like they're righteous, they don't need to be saved. Isaiah says, our righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of the Lord. In essence, that's what he says in that verse. And I challenge you to go back and look up what that verse really means when it comes to our filthy righteousness. And so this morning we see in verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly." Look at verse 7. "For scarcely for a righteous man will one die." That word "scarcely" means with great difficulty. For a righteous man, a man who is prudent, a man who has character, a man who has a person who is well established in their life. He said, you might be able to find somebody, but it's with great difficulty to find such a man to die for. With great difficulty, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. He said, with great difficulty, you search this world and you find those who perceive themselves to be righteous and got it all together. He said, you're going to have a hard time finding somebody to die for a righteous man. Verse number seven, he says this in about middleways through. "Yet peradventure, for a good man, some would even dare to die." That word "peradventure" means possibly. Better than with much difficulty, possibly you might find someone to die for a person that works hard every day, for a person that holds the door open for people, you know, at the restaurants, and just real kind and generous. You know, the down-to-earth person who works hard and provides for their family, you'll have a better chance of finding someone to die for a good man. That's possible. But for that righteous man, great difficulty. But verse number 8 says this, But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet not righteous, not even good, but sinners. But God, he commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Listen, what a blessing it is to know that the Lord has died for everybody. Young and old, rich or poor, the outcast, those who are in the community and have many friends, the Lord has died for everyone this morning. And so I like the fact that you couldn't find one to die for a righteous man, maybe a good man, and we're none of those. We're not righteous, we're not good, yet God died for us. And in this we see the pinnacle of love in sacrifice. Notice as well, I think loving others, this is implied to us, I think that loving others sacrificially in just a fraction of how the Lord died for us, I think loving others sacrificially will be a great way to show our love, don't you? I mean, if he gave his life for us sacrificially, shouldn't we give our life to him sacrificially? First of all, we're to love the Lord sacrificially. In Romans 12, in verse number 1, Paul says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a, not a dead sacrifice, but a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your reasonable service unto the Lord." This morning, it'll be a great thing for us because of the great love God had for us sacrificially on the cross, that we should live for him sacrificially. Paul said in that verse, Romans 12, 1, he says, "I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God." I beg you, brethren, is what he's saying. Based upon everything that God has done for you, speaking to the audience there in the text. Based upon everything that the Lord has done for you and all of his great mercies and his great love sacrifice, I beseech you therefore, brethren, I beg you that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. What does that mean? That just means that you're focused on the love of God. That means that you're keeping your eyes on the love of God. You are keeping yourselves in the love of God. And you have not forgotten that you was purged from your old sins. You're not perfect, but you try to follow after and hit that target of holiness every day. You are presenting your bodies a living sacrifice. And I think this morning when it comes to the love of God and His love being that of great sacrifice, we too should sacrifice ourselves to Him and live for Him the best we can. But number two, not only we're to love the Lord sacrificially, but number two, we're to love others sacrificially. Real love this morning will always cost us something. Always. Because when it comes from a heart that is being motivated by love, you will find that a lot of things are not as important anymore. So therefore, real love will cost us something. We sacrifice out of love. This morning, real love will cost us something. Let us spend ourselves loving the Lord. Let us spend ourselves and giving great sacrifice to love our spouses, giving ourselves sacrificially to our spouses this morning, our children, our family, and our friends. Real love will always cost us something. And by the way, can I speak of the home and the family for a second? When it comes to husband and wife, look, husbands, we can't always have it our way. And on the flip side, wives, you can't always have it your way. And so what does that create? It creates opportunity for each, the husband and the wife to surrender and give themselves one to another sacrificially. There has to be in marriage compromise of some kind and some degree. There are some in marriages who, bless God, I ain't changing. I'm eating this every night. I'm watching this. You can pay the bills. You can do this. You clean the house. I'm sitting right here and I'm doing this all myself. I don't care. Well, you can do that if you want to, but it's going to cause marital problems. And then the wife may say, well, I'm working and I'm cooking. I'm doing all of these things. And so, you know, you can do what you want, but I'm doing this. And so you can see that there's this tension in the home because there's not equal sacrifice. Sometimes it may be one sacrificing themselves for the family more than the other, but at the end of the day, both have to. There are reasonable compromises in marriage so a marriage can last. And the greatest way to express your love is sacrificially. And listen, it's not just buying a heart red balloon on Valentine's Day. That don't make up for the whole year. But let that be the icing on top on Valentine's Day, buying that red big balloon out of Kroger. let it be the icing on the cake. Buying Valentine's gifts are great, but it cannot make up for a spouse who is not willing to compromise their role in their marriage. They got the nerve, some do, to say, oh, I love you. And then not budging in their role. That's not true. Because this morning, true love is sacrificial. True love, and Paul even writes about it in the book of Ephesians. He says, what man has ever cherished and nourished his own flesh? Or what man has ever hated his own flesh, but yet he cherisheth it and he nourisheth it? And he goes on, he says, that's the same kind of attention that we are to give our wives. You see, love, there is a cost when it comes to love. And what greater example than there is than Jesus Christ Himself giving of Himself sacrificially. And so we will do good, all of us, we'll do good to give ourselves lovingly, sacrificially to the Lord and to others. There's a third thing this morning when it comes to the love of God. Not only that, but the love of God, praise the Lord, is unconditional. It's unconditional. The Bible says, or in the Bible, if you study the subject of love, you will find out that there are at least three different types of expressions of love. Number one, when you study the Bible, you'll find out that there is phileo love. The phileo love is the kind of love that you have for a friend. It's the kind of love we have for one another, is a phileo love. But then there's a second kind of love, and this is connected to the physical. This is eros kind of love. It's what connects physically, that physical connection. This is what you have in your spouse, that physical part. And so there's that phileo love, there's an eros love, but then there's the agape love. The agape love is the kind of love, listen, that has no bounds. It's a boundless love. We used to sing at Floyd Road. It's a boundless love. It has no bounds, no conditions. There may be someone in your life this morning who says, you do this, you do that, you do that, you know, and I'll love you. That's not agape love. Well, if you do this, then I'll love you. If you do this, if you do that, and you follow through for a number of days, and you never go back to the way you were, then I will love you. Thank God that God has agape love. It's the love that has no conditions. Because if it came to that in my life, listen, I'm all the time, Lord, forgive me, I'm even being saved, especially being saved. My repentance, man, listen, every day. Lord, it's me again. God, forgive me. I didn't do what I was supposed to do, or I hit the mark this time. Lord, I said something out of a bad attitude. I shouldn't have done that. Lord, forgive me this time. Well, if God was the way a lot of people are who put conditions on love, He would have cast me out a long time ago. But thank the Lord this morning that He has an unconditional love toward us. He has agape love. John 3:16. For God so loved. That word loved here in the Greek, it's agapeo or agape. For God so loved. Special emphasis on so. We went over that during Christmas time. For God so loved. Agape. No conditions. The world. That He gave His only begotten Son. Sacrifice. That whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. How about that? Let us at least attempt on this Valentine's Day and days after to love our family with agape love, to love our friends and neighbors with agape love. And I know it's hard at times because sometimes some people are just hard to love, Bro Ceylon. Sometimes there's that one person that seemingly always gets on your nerves, that always says hurtful things, that never shows up when they're supposed to, that always leaves you hanging, that always is trying to spread things about you, trying to say you're no good. There's always that one person that's so hard to love. But you know what? As a born-again child of God, my responsibility this morning is to love that person. Not with the kind of love Justin has, phileo, or a phileo kind of love, but to ask God to help me as I'm keeping myself in the love of God, to love that person with an agape kind of love. Kind of like this. You know what, partner? I know you don't have nothing nice to say about me. I know you don't like me. I know I haven't jumped through your hoops that you have in order for me to be your friend. But I want to tell you this morning, whoever you are, that I love you. No stipulations, no conditions. I love you because God loved me with an unconditional love. I love you unconditionally. Sometimes it's the hardest thing to do. But if we exercise ourselves spiritually in that manner, and keep ourselves in the love of God, that is never forgetting how much God loves us and never stop loving Him, I believe we'll have a greater opportunity and ability to love that one person that's hard to love and operate out of God's love and love them with His kind of love. A greater opportunity to do that when we're basking in the love of God. We understand that God loves us unconditionally. And because of that, we are face to face with having to deal with certain people. The love of God is unconditional. Let us do our best this morning to love others without conditions. No hoops or hurdles. Not to jump through, to crawl through, to get in through. Nothing like that. But just love like Jesus loved unconditionally. And so we see the love of God. And it is unconditional. But then, let me say this. The love of God is inspirational. Romans chapter number 2. In verse number 4, I want you to notice. You can go ahead and make your way there. In Romans chapter number 2, for a brief summary, Paul is talking about God's judgment. Then in verse number 4, Paul mentions that God was long-suffering unto the people to repent of sin. Look in verse number, let's just read verse number 4. He says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long suffering?" What is he talking about? He's talking about that there was judgment upon the people. Verse number 1 says, "Therefore thou art inexcusable, O man, whosoever thou art that judgest. For wherein thou judgest another, thou condemnest thyself. For thou that judgest doest the same things. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to the truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do the same, which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God?" So as of verse number 3, the judgment of God was coming upon man and his people. But verse number 4 says, or talking about in the same breath, the subject of judgment because of sin. Then he says in verse 4, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." What is he saying? He's saying that judgment was coming, but God used a different mechanism for repentance. He says that, or despisest thou, are you despising God's goodness to you, even in your sin? Are you despising the Lord's goodness and his forbearance and long-suffering to you while you are living in your sin and you're judging others? You need to take notice, he's saying, that God has delayed his judgment and used his goodness to lead you to a place of repentance. How many of us can say that? God, I didn't deserve that blessing. Lord, I deserve judgment upon my life, but Lord, you are so good that it actually changed my mind from thinking that that ill intent, and now I'm thinking about you. Many times God pours out his goodness when we are contrary to him, but it is the design for there to be a change of course within us. And that this morning is inspiring. For God to bless me in spite of me. For God to bless you in spite of you. Even when we don't deserve it. We never deserve it. Even when we're good, we don't deserve it. But even when we know that we have been raw dog, disobedient, God still blesses us. But he does it so that it might move us to repentance. So that it might move us to the state of mind where we're saying, "God, I don't deserve your goodness, but you bless me anyway. Lord, I am sacrificially giving you my life, a living sacrifice." You remember when Peter, one of the occasions when he was on the boat fishing. And you remember when the Lord told him to cast the net on the other side of the boat, the right side of the boat. And he pulled in a great multitude of fishes. In one of the Gospels, it says this, that that Peter said, "Depart from me, O Lord, for I'm a sinful man." It was when God blessed him with that great draught of fishes, Peter says, "I'm not worthy." He says, I'm a sinful man. Is it only me this morning when God blesses me that I don't feel worthy? I'm sure we all don't feel worthy, right? Well, he doesn't do that and bless us in our disobedience when we don't deserve. He doesn't do this for us to lay out of church. He doesn't bless us when we're contrary to him for not watch on Facebook. He doesn't bless us when we're walking contrary to him so that we don't read our Bibles, we don't pray. That would be tempting God. When we're walking contrary to him and God blesses us and we say within ourselves, "See there, I'm a Christian, he's always going to be good." I want to tell you, he knows the attitudes of our heart. And the Lord, listen, we can tempt him. And the Lord knows how to chasten those. And there's times where you may feel that you've outsmarted God in this area. Oh, I'm saved and God blessed me in spite of me, so I'm just going to keep on doing it. God knows how much I love him. You see, that's the wrong kind of attitude. And God knows the attitude of his children's heart. This morning I can tell you, I know the attitude of Lily's heart every single day. I know what she's thinking by looking at her, if she's happy or sad. And if we have earthly fathers that are that way, much more our heavenly Father, he knows what we're thinking. And so when God does bless us, when we're not adding up, when we're not hitting that mark, it's for us to repent. It is inspirational. Many times God pours out his goodness when we are contrary to him. But the design, listen, the design is for there to be a change of course within us. This morning, the love of God is inspiring love. It inspires us to continue on. It inspires us to change. Listen to this phrase out of 2 Corinthians 5:14. Paul says that the love of Christ constraineth us. And the verse goes on, but the love of Christ constraineth us. That word constraineth means to hold together. When life is overwhelming, it's our knowledge of God's love toward us and us loving him, keeping ourselves in the love of God. It's knowing that keeps us together. It's knowing that if you answer the phone this afternoon and it's a bad report from a friend or even the hospital, someone has cancer, not doing well, it is imperative to know how much God still loves you. Paul says the love of Christ constraineth us. It holds us together. You know all the trials and all the miles that Paul went through, being shipwrecked and stoned, drug outside of the city, Lystra, and was stoned. He was bitten by a snake. Of course, he just shook that thing. He shook it off. But all kinds of things. He was striped on the back, him and Paul and Silas in jail, locked up and bound. Yet even then, they prayed and sang praises unto God. You want to know why? Because he was keeping himself in the love of God. Never stop realizing, understanding, knowing how much God loves you. It's very inspirational. The love of God is unconditional. The love of God is sacrificial. The love of God is essential. This morning, as we stand to our feet and get ready for a verse, I wonder if there's anybody here that needs to come, that wants to come. Maybe you just want to come and say, "Thank you, Lord, for your blessings on your life." Or maybe you need to come and present your body a living sacrifice unto him one more time. Father, we love you. We praise you this morning. We've done our very best to try to share the love of God in a nutshell. Use the message for your own glory, and we'll thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. If you need to come, you come. Those watching, your invitation as well.